A 2023 Happy New Year and 2022 Review.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and to run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything that the .NET ecosystem has to offer. The podcast is sponsored by ClearMeasure, a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results through its ClearMeasure Way methodology. This month, which is January 2023, I'm hosting some architect forums. And if you are an architect or any other software team leader, you feel alone sometimes without a peer to discuss, you know, unique issues that you deal with. And in the architect forums, you'll be able to discuss real questions and topics with other software architects about leading a software engineering team. And your teams want to establish quality, achieve stability, and move fast, just like everyone else who's coming to those forums. So hear what others have to say. I will be facilitating the forum, and we keep participation low so that we can have a meaningful conversation. We already have two forums scheduled for January because of demand, but register now at the link in the show notes or on just the ClearMeasure website, clearmeasure.com, for one of the January forums before they fill up. And for those of you looking for Programming with Palermo, my video podcast, just search in any podcast directory, you'll find it. All right, let's get on with this special show. Happy New Year. This is a 2023 kickoff and a year-end review for 2022. Again, Happy New Year to all. As we start off the year, it's going to be a great year. It's a great time to be a programmer, a great time to be building with .NET. You are going to do great things this year. You have what it takes. You're smart. You have great tools. You have a great team. You're a great leader. And this episode is going to be all about remembering what happened this past year at the podcast. So let's start a little bit with the Microsoft developer news. Android apps are now supported on Windows 11. Now, there's work to be done, so you need, not everybody's gotten them to work. But that's a huge announcement that Microsoft is getting Android apps to work all across the board on Windows. Also, ARM processors are getting big investments. There's already a few developer boxes out there with Windows 11 pre-installed on ARM so that you can kind of test software and prototype that. That's going to be huge. Microsoft DevBox is in preview in Azure. It's the vision for it is a dev workstation in the cloud. And Microsoft announced big investments in that. And certainly for organizations that need standardized configurations spun up super quickly, this will be really interesting. And even for being able to maybe take a smaller computer with you on the go somewhere and then just log in and use a fully powered computer on demand, sounds really interesting. Also, Microsoft Power Apps for a long time has not had simple web pages, but now they do Power Pages. So that for simple static web pages where, you know, maybe you would have thought about WordPress or about Wix or about any of the other easy website providers, Microsoft Power Pages is now there as a part of Microsoft 365. So that's interesting. Azure App Service has launched large SKU options. You can have servers up to 256 gigabytes of RAM for your app service apps if you actually needed more RAM. Also, Azure Arc, which is the new name of hybrid Azure, it's getting a lot of investment, and it works with a single node Azure stack for remote locations, but with the programming model of Azure. So for a long time, we've asked, hey, I really want to test my Azure stuff local, or maybe I need a installation of the software on a remote server, but I can't install Azure easily on my own server. They're working on that. So that's good. Look forward to testing it at the right time. And also, Azure Container Apps tooling got a lot better over this last year, and it became really ready for prime time. So I think every team should be looking at Azure Container Apps. And then also in November, just a month and a half ago, .NET 7 was released along with Visual Studio 2022, a new version of it anyway. So .NET 7 is a huge performance release over .NET 6. You know, a few niceties that came with C# 11 and some changes, but really it's a huge performance release. All right, so that's the major Microsoft news that I think every developer should know. And just an update on what might the default application stack look like on the .NET platform here in 2023, because it's constantly changing, but some things don't change as fast. Well, first of all, Windows 11 is your operating system. Visual Studio, the latest Visual Studio 2022 with the JetBrains ReSharper add-in for the IDE. .NET 7, of course, for general Visual Studio solution layout, the Onion architecture method. For interactive applications, Blazor is the new normal for applications that need screens of various sorts, whether it's embedded in WinForms WPF or a system tray application or launched via URL as a web application. Blazor covers everything, even with MAUI for smartphones. If you want one code base just to be able to write screens and write applications for all those different targets, Blazor is the new normal. And then .NET service workers for your backend jobs and queue listeners. Also, Entity Framework, your object relational mapper with Azure SQL or whatever flavor of SQL Server is appropriate for your infrastructure. Yes, SQL Server is still the default database. As much as all these others come, SQL Server is still the default. And then the other options kind of add into your architecture where appropriate. So, you know, every application is going to need some other storage services for specific needs, but SQL Server is kind of still at the middle. And for hosting, Azure App Service while prototyping Azure Container Apps. Azure Container Apps isn't going to be for everybody. If you have a Windows-specific dependency in your software, well, guess what? Azure Container Apps is Kubernetes, therefore it's Linux. So if you're dealing with some of those dependencies, then you're going to be staying on Azure App Service for a bit. And then for logging and telemetry, Application Insights with the OpenTelemetry NuGet packages. And then for work tracking, builds, deployments, Azure Pipelines paired with Octopus Deploy for deployments and keeping an eye on GitHub Actions as they work to fill out support for scenarios that you might need. And then finally, for generic developer workstation, work from home, or remote Wi-Fi, NordVPN. You know, with all the security stuff going on, everybody, and certainly every listener to this show, knows better than to go into a coffee shop with Wi-Fi from who knows where or a hotel and just log in and start accessing the stuff that you have access to. You always want to protect yourself behind a VPN. NordVPN works really well, really simply, covers all your devices. All right, so that's the default application components, default environment for 2023. And of course, anybody that wants to argue with me, just send me an email. I love it.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery. Clear Measure is also happy to be a sponsor of the video podcast, Programming with Palermo. Watch, learn, and program alongside Chief Architect Jeffrey Palermo. Videos are added weekly and available on syndicated locations supporting video podcast or by visiting palermo.network. Tune in today.
All right. Now, let me talk about developer workstations here in 2023. When it comes to those, desktop computers are still giving the most bang for the buck with the power, and only a few laptops do the job really well. I have not reviewed every single computer out in the sun, but there's so many out there, and I'm sure there's some great ones out there that people have good luck with. But if you're looking for my opinion, I can vouch for Alienware R-Series desktops. They're really good. They are liquid-cooled, if you get the right chassis. Liquid-cooled so that they're really quiet, even under full load, which is great because some computers end up sounding like a jet engine. which you don't want. Dell Precision laptops are amazing for software engineers. They have native graphics, all the power and memory that you could want in a laptop form factor. So those are good. All the docking stations and port expanders and, you know, multi-monitors. You know, setting up three monitors becomes a problem for a lot of laptops. And so that kind of whittles down when you're setting up a software engineering workstation. I really did want to love the Lenovo P1 laptop because it comes with the Intel i9 processor, which is a beast. But the fan is just so loud when it's under load that was a no-go. You couldn't even get the full power of the processor because the fan starts up like a jet engine, and then it got super hot, and then the process starts cooling down. And we all know that cooling is so important in laptops. When a laptop gets too hot, your BIOS will slow down the processor to keep it from burning up. Well, then you no longer have a fast processor. And by the way, video calls use a great deal of processor, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly. For the super mobile laptops that you can use for programming, I really do like the Microsoft Surface laptop. I wanted to like the Surface Studio laptop, but they inverted the cooling and the battery placement. So it's very uncomfortable on the lap and on your wrists, unfortunately, when it's under load and it's getting hot. The wrist rest, it gets really hot and starts burning your wrists. Normally, the battery is under the wrist rest. And so the heat is actually under the keyboard where you only tap with your fingertips. You don't notice it. But Microsoft swapped it on this one. So it's not fun using it as a laptop on your lap or even on a desk while it's hot and under load and your wrists are on it. Now, connected to a docking station with an external keyboard, it's fine, obviously. Those are a few that I have personal experience with if you're just kind of looking around. Now, RAM requirements, those seem to still be around 32 gigabytes. I have one computer with 64 gigabytes of RAM, but it's really a waste. All the tools, when everything's up and running, the computer doesn't even seem to want to use more than 32 gigs. So if you have 32 gigs of RAM, it's kind of all the modern tooling really wants to use at this point in time. All right, so let's get on to some amazing interviews from the past year. I consider, you know, most of these to be pretty timeless and worth the listen. Let's run down. And if you go to azuredevops.show, you can see all of the past shows and show notes and listen to them there. You can search there for the names that I talk about or reference the episode numbers directly. And so I want to highlight some past episodes that I think will be really interesting to you. Now, with Microsoft Orleans providing a new implementation of the Actor design pattern, we have a two-part series interview with Aaron Stannard. He's the creator of Akka.net, which is for a long time has been the most popular library to help you implement the Actor model. And so you can look at episodes 172 and 173 for that. And of course, all these links will be in the show notes. On the IoT front, Wilderness Labs has been trucking along creating system-on-a-chip options that run .NET natively and easily. I interviewed the founder and CEO, Brian Kostinich, and so you can see him on episode 177. And for those educating yourself for a career in software engineering, my interview with Henry Quillen might be useful. He talks about a programming internship and his education journey and his work earning his Eagle Scout and how he became a working programmer even as he was just starting university. Now, more on Embedded. Kevin Kirkus was with us on episode 186. He runs a testing team at Intel doing automated testing for their Xeon processor line. The design necessary for testing in this specialized environment gives us all plenty to think about. And for the team leaders out there, I interviewed Mark Seaman. He wrote a recent book, Code That Fits in Your Head. And he talks about the principles that are in that book. I subsequently bought and read the book, and I wish I had this book earlier in my career. It would have saved me a great deal of time. So give that interview a listen. On the distributed systems front, Udi Dahan is always a fascinating gentleman to listen to. You can check out episode 192. As the founder and CEO of Particular Software and the creator of In-Service Bus, he is one of the world's leading experts on distributed systems, microservices, and messaging architectures. And time-tested ideas are continuously useful. I had the pleasure of interviewing Philippe Christian, And he worked at Rational Software back when they were at the forefront of software process in the 1990s. He published a paper outlining a framework for emergent agile architecture. He didn't call it that at the time. He called it the 4+1 architecture, but only because it predated the Agile Manifesto. And if you're an architect and you haven't become aware of this approach to architecture, give episode 195 a listen. All right, for the Blazor developers out there, I've got two. I've got Steve Sanderson on episode 202. Steve is the original designer of Blazor, which has become the new default web application on .NET. And he shared about the future of Blazor and WebAssembly, which was really interesting. And then because there's so much going on in that space, Daniel Roth also joined me to discuss more Blazor futures. So you can check out episode 204. Then we turn to GitHub Actions. They are being talked about quite a bit. And while loads of people are using it for builds, people are kind of scratching their heads when it figuring out how to fit it in regarding deployments. So Damian Brady on the GitHub team, and by the way, a former employee of Octopus Deploy, kind of shed some light on how GitHub Actions fits into deployments. And you can see that in episode 206. Then in episode 211, Scott Hunter joined me. He announced his new vice president role at Microsoft, big promotion, running more of Azure development as well as .NET. And he shared quite a bit behind the scenes regarding Microsoft strategy there. So that was really interesting. And for the UX people out there, Mark Miller is the chief architect of DevExpress, the big UI components company. He has a brilliant user experience mind, and I was able to get him talking about all that in episode 212. So give that a listen. For those interested in telemetry, which everyone should be, we all need the telemetry best practices to keep our software stable in production. And I had the Serilog and Autofac maintainer and founder, Nicholas Blumhart. He joined me to discuss the fundamentals of modern logging and telemetry. And so check out episode 217 for that. And then back to testing, Eduardo Maltez, a software engineer doing some really interesting full system test work, shares his thinking on what makes tests reliable and stable and fast and how to fight brittle tests in episode 224. I was really interested to catch up with him because he was one of my my past developer apprentices, and he's doing some really, really awesome work. And by the way, if you're using Selenium, a lot of talk on Selenium on that episode. And then we closed out the year on the security front with LastPass getting hacked and now Rackspace having a hacking-induced major outage. We all need to take some action. Troy Vinson, a multi-certified security professional and a certified ethical hacker, he gave his perspective on the Rackspace breach and what every .NET team should learn from it and should do. And so that's episode 225. And that's what we have, a year in review. It's going to be a great year, 2023. And from all of us at the Azure DevOps Podcast, I hope you and your family had a great Christmas, and may God grant you a joyful and prosperous new year. And of course, until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.